So you will see now in the Upanishads, therefore, a synthesis of disciplines of knowledge. There are negative disciplines and there are positive disciplines of knowledge. The negative disciplines of knowledge tell you that you are not the body, you are not the life, you are not the mind. This is the knowledge. Normally we think we are the body, life and mind. We are identified with body, life and mind. Therefore the negative path of knowledge or discipline of knowledge is to say, I am not the body, I am not the life, I am not the mind. I am not the ego. I am the Brahman, the Satchidananda. Siddhananda Rupa Shivoham Shivoham. This is the positive method. Negative method is to say, I am not this, I am not this, I am not this. The positive method is to say, I am this, I am this, I am this. So there's a negative method and the positive method. Both are reconciled and synthesized in the Upanishads. Now this is the great synthesis that you find in the Upanishads, which got into the background, and there came about even a greater and greater emphasis, not on synthesis, but even on exclusive method of knowledge, to emphasize that reality can be attained only by the process of knowledge, and karma and bhakti are subordinated. A stage was reached in India, and if you study the Bhagavad Gita, you will find that the perplexity of Arjuna is centered on this important question. Is not the path of knowledge the supreme path, the only path? Is not renunciation the only path? And he argues in favor of that. That is because in the environment of the Mahabharata, this theory must have been very prominent. Otherwise, why should Arjuna be so perplexed about it? It is because in the course of time, from the Upanishads, the disciplines of knowledge which were synthesized, even when it is synthesized also karma, bhakti and jnana, there was a gradual emphasis on knowledge. And it became so powerful as to say that all other methods may prepare you, but they do not deliver you. It is the knowledge which can deliver you. And as a result of that, there was some kind of ambiguity in the atmosphere. And people were arguing in favor of this or that or that. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you will find a tremendous churning of various trends of thought. There was a belief that without Vedic karma, you cannot attain the highest. That also was a theory present, and that is why Sri Krishna deals with that problem also. The distinction between Vedic karma and the real karma. Sri Krishna, at that time there was a kind of a conflict between Sankhya and Yoga. Yoga was supposed to be a path of action, and Sankhya was supposed to be the path of knowledge. The word Sankhya and Yoga do not mean in the Bhagavad Gita the same as what is now meant by the word Sankhya and Yoga. In due course of time, even the word Sankhya and Yoga, their meanings have changed. But in the Bhagavad Gita, the word Sankhya means the path of knowledge, and Yoga means a path of action which is consistent with knowledge and bhakti. But these two elements subordinated. But that we shall see when we come to further details of the Bhagavad Gita. But for the moment it is important to notice that by the time that we come to the Bhagavad Gita, to the time of Mahabharata, the idea that knowledge is the real method of salvation, of liberation, and that all others are to be subordinated or to be surpassed. This had become very prominent, so prominent that Arjuna's main difficulty arose from it. He wanted to renounce the battlefield on the plea that battlefield is a field of action. And action ultimately is to be of no consequence. It doesn't lead you to the ultimate goal. Therefore, I leave it and I will take sannyas, I will renounce the world and enter into the path of knowledge and attain to the highest. And that was his basic argument. And Sri Krishna deals with this question in depth. And while dealing with this question, and this is the speciality of the Bhagavad Gita, it synthesizes knowledge, action and devotion. This is the speciality of Bhagavad Gita. This kind of synthesis you don't find anywhere in the history of the world. The synthesis of karma, jnana and bhakti, with a special emphasis upon action. As Sri Aurobindo says, Bhagavad Gita is the highest gospel of karma yoga. You will never find anywhere the statement of karma yoga as clearly and as potently as it is in the Bhagavad Gita. So this is a new synthesis. You don't find that synthesis either in the Veda or in the Upanishad. It's a new synthesis required by the needs of the time. In due course, however, even this went into the background. Even this synthesis went into the background. And there arose then a conflict of different claims. The bhaktas claim that bhakti is the only path. The jnanis claim that jnana is the only path. Vedkandis believe that only karma kanda is the only path, or karma yogins believe that only karma is the only path. So there was a period of great conflict, claims and counterclaims. This conflict even now subsists, even today it subsists in a very powerful manner. Even the Bhagavad Gita's teaching has been interpreted by bhaktas, saying that Bhagavad Gita teaches only bhakti. Bhagavad Gita is taught in such a way as to say that it teaches only jnana marga. Or others who say that it teaches only karma marga. So even Bhagavad Gita's synthesis has now come to be so interpreted as to become an exclusive teaching, either for this or for that or for that. In the meantime, there arose in the Indian history another synthesis, and that is the synthesis of Tantra. Now the speciality of the Tantra is a synthesis of supreme as both masculine and feminine. It's a speciality, the synthesis of the masculine and the feminine principles of existence, which was present in the Veda. As I said, the Veda describes the reality both as he and she, both as Rishabha and Dhenu. Rishabha is the bull and Dhenu is the cow. That was already in the Veda, that synthesis was present. But that synthesis was not so marked out, so very emphasized, as the tantrics came to do. And they came to emphasize that he is dual in character. Although it is one, it is dual in character. And not only that, it came to emphasize a further point, that it is a feminine principle which can ultimately take you to the Supreme Lord. If you want to enter into the portals of the Supreme Lord, you can do only with the grace, with the favor, kripa, of the Supreme Mother, of the Divine Mother, Therefore, the entire worship of the mother is a special characteristic of Tantra.